My name is Clem Blazewick. I was 21 years of age when I was drafted. I left here June 5th, 1965 for Fort Jackson, South Carolina, basic training. And then from there, Fort Sam Houston, Texas for medic and medical laboratory technician training. And left for Vietnam December 25th, 1965. And I came back from Vietnam December 18th, 1965. And then after that, on January 18th, I went to Japan, Camp Zama, Army Hospital, until May 14th of 67. I was drafted in June of 1965 for a two-year enlistment. I served at the 93rd Evacuation Hospital in Long Bend, Vietnam. 93rd was about 19 miles north of Saigon on Highway 1. I was a medical laboratory technician. Medical laboratory technicians performed hematology, immunohematology, chemistries, bacteriologies, assisted the pathologists in performing autopsies as well. There really wasn't any spare time in Vietnam. In the laboratory, we worked about 36 out of 48 hours. You know, we had a schedule, but it was just a piece of paper that out of the three, four laboratory technicians that we were supposed to be there that day. And most of the time, we were all there for 12, 14, 24 hours straight, sometimes longer, depending on the amount of casualties that came into the hospital. We had about 250, 300-bed hospital. When you have casualties coming in, there's just an awful lot of immediate blood work that has to be done. So I had my first day off was after about 38 days work. I call it a day off. I think I spent a couple of hours behind a tent writing some letters and things like that. But yeah, there was very little social activity to be had. My family often sent me letters. I tried to write the letters as often as I could. So we got letters. You always got some packages from home. They were always welcome, you know, mom's cookies and some news articles and things of that nature. My father was always good about sending newspaper clippings to me. It's always good to receive something from back home, especially when you're far away. When you're in a war zone, you go through things with fellow servicemen. You create a bond. You've done an awful lot together, taking care of each other, so to speak, and you develop these bonds. I've got a very good friend in Minnesota, another one in California, and a few others scattered around the states. And even some of the local Vietnam veterans, even though I didn't know them overseas, we all experienced the same era. We had a very close relationship. Everybody got along well. It was one common goal, and that was to do our best to get through the test results as quickly as we can. We helped each other. We were multitasking all the time. Relationships are an important thing. We established relationships with patients. You get to know them by first name. And even in our laboratory, we would talk about a certain soldier and won an awards. And so we communicated well together. We just did whatever we had to do to make sure to get the job done. When I departed for Vietnam, which was Christmas Day of 1965, the people were very supportive of the troops leaving for Vietnam. They wanted to take us to dinner. They wanted to buy us things. And the media back then was in support, from what I know, of the war, because we wanted to stop the spread of communism, as the government had told us we had to do. So after coming back to the States a year later, I noticed that things were a bit different. People just didn't really talk to you very much. They kind of ignored the fact that you were away. It wasn't the same as the people when you were leaving, and they wanted to do everything for you, wanted to be nice to you and talk to you. They just kind of ignored your presence The protests began sometime around the 1966-67 time period as more and more troops were being sent to Vietnam and more casualties occurred. The media depicted that it wasn't a very popular thing to do to be involved in a conflict in Vietnam. The media, I think, sided with what a lot of the people and the protests throughout the country and attempted to force the government to get out of Vietnam. The government was telling everybody that we had to prevent the spread of communism, and that was my position and that was my thought. There were a lot of people at the time who refused to go to the war. They burned their draft cards, they burned their enlistment papers, and they left the country. Some students enrolled in colleges at the time to get out of the draft and get away from going to the war. The thought was to stop communism. The United States was we were the policemen of the world. And instead of looking to other countries to help as they do nowadays, we can't do it alone. So I think the way the thinking is nowadays is a better way of thinking about it. You know, 58,000 men and women were killed in Vietnam. Was it really worth 58,000 men? Absolutely not. You know, when I think of that aspect of it, I says, no way. We should have never been there. Probably the good memories are the relationships that I established and that I still have ongoing. I get together with a fellow from Minnesota every year, and I keep in touch with the one in California. There's one in Virginia and a few other ones around the country. And it's an interesting thing. I go to which is probably the largest Vietnam veterans reunion in the country, and you meet up with a lot of veterans there. Some veterans tell us that they'd been through the 93rd as a patient. Other ones had been through the 93rd just passing through, and it stopped for whatever reason. And some sergeants and captains and that would tell us that they had some of their soldiers were taken care of in the 93rd, and they would be very thankful for it. I had made a lot of friendships there, and so that's the best thing I think that I got out of Vietnam.